Thank you. He was the greatest man I've ever known. He taught me. He instructed me. He corrected me. He mentored me. Helped me, and he loved me in so many areas of my life. He taught me a foundation of love for God, his Son Jesus Christ, and his Word. He taught me the benefits of daily being in the Word and the importance of a vital prayer life. He taught me the principle of giving and thankfulness in receiving all of God's blessings. He showed me a lifestyle of contentment, stewardship, and faithfulness. From him, I learned principles of honesty, the value of a good reputation, and the importance of being a man of my word. He was an example of what a good husband should be and what a solid marriage should look like, the commitment of marriage he showed me. And he also showed me the unconditional love of the Father. He was always there with sound advice when I asked for it, solid principles of finance and business, and wisdom that he passed on to me. He showed me the value of friendships and relationships, and I always felt wherever we went, he was the smartest man in the room. He showed me how to live joyfully and victoriously with grace and hope after the loss of a loved one, his life partner. He inspired me, in me, a love of music and a sense of humor. He was humble, kind, gracious, and generous towards all. He knew me since the day I was born. He was the greatest man I've ever known. He was much more than a father figure. He was my dad. Sorry. I wanted to share that with you because many of you knew my father. And many of you know that just recently he passed away, fell asleep, as the word calls it. And the sting of death is still very real to me, the sense of loss that I have from losing my dad and my best friend for all my life. And he was visiting our home a few years ago after my mother passed away, his wife, and he was at our home, and I was in my office doing something, and he had come down from upstairs, and he was doing something in the kitchen, and he walked in, and he had this little plaque with him, and he looked at me, and he said, "I've never seen this in your house before." He said, "I read it, and it meant so much to me." He said, "It just has given me a hope," and I'd like to share this little plaque with you right now today. This is from Jeremiah chapter 29, and you can look it up if you have the King James. This plaque is in the New International Version, and I love it just because of the way it reads. Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And my dad read that to me, and he said, "Thanks for putting that there." This little plaque, by the way, was a gift to Brenda and I from Teresa Panio, who herself has also fallen asleep recently and is missed dearly. But I'm going to set this right here so we can look at it today. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. I'd like to begin there. In Luke chapter 2. Verse 8 says, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." This is a quiet scene. According to this, there was one flock and a few shepherds watching over it. Picture this. It would have been dark. It was at night, and the sheep were probably sleeping or resting. Everything was quiet. Maybe these shepherds had a fire, and they were talking amongst themselves while they kept the watch on their flock. And all of a sudden, verse 9, "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." They were so afraid it hurt. I would have another phrase for that. How scared I would be. How startled I would be if that happened to me. All of a sudden, the glory of the Lord shone around them. It's quiet night. They're minding their business, watching their flock. And here comes an angel. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, if the angels came today, picture yourself working the night shift. Things are kind of dead. Maybe you're looking at your phone or something, and this happens to you. And the angel shows, and the glory of the Lord shone round about. In today's lingo, the angel probably would have said, dudes, chill. It's okay. I got good news. Good news to tell you. And the good news was this. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This was God's promise to Israel for generations and generations. These shepherds had believed and hoped for this promise. This is the hope Jeremiah was talking about. Israel's hope was the coming of the Messiah. And here it was. And God chose to announce this tremendous, awesome event to a few shepherds in a field. This was their hope. Today, our hope is that there's a day coming. He's coming back. He's coming back. And that's our hope today. So, my topic today is one hope, living in light of the hope. And today, I'm here to bring you a message of hope. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I got an old Bible, and it's fallen apart. So bear with me when the pages come out. Begin in Romans chapter 8. You know, this angel brought to these shepherds a message of good news. Good news. And, you know, I've been reading the last, I don't know how many years, the Chicago Tribune. Because I like the sports. I like to keep up with the sports teams. But man, oh man, if you read a newspaper or even Google News or anything, there is so much bad news today in the world happening. Think about all this stuff. There's wars, there's epidemics, there's floods, there's upheaval, there's poverty, there's famine in country. There's so much stuff, diseases going on. We could use a little good news, right? And that's what I'm going to give you. Try to convey the same message of hope those shepherds received when the angels came and said, I got good news. Here's what's happening. The good news that we have is he's coming back today. Life today is hard with all this bad news. And, you know, there are challenges for each and every one of us every day. We face challenges in our daily lives, don't we? And in the things we're trying to do for God and working. And sometimes we ask ourselves, is it really worth it to go through all this and the things that we have to put up with in this life? Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. They're not even worthy to be compared with what's coming. The things that we're going through today. That we can keep in our mind in our daily living. And this is a phrase I'm going to use often this morning because I have to remind myself of this. There's a day coming when he's coming back. And the troubles that we're going through today, the trials, the things we go through in our daily lives, aren't even worthy to be compared to what's in store for us in the future. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So what is hope? I'll give you a definition here I've got. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. a feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. Now, in our culture today, in our use of language today, hope could be more like a wish. Could be defined more like a wish. I hope I don't get the flu this winter. I hope I get this raise at work. I hope I get tickets to the big game. I hope I make it through this teaching. That's how it's used today, a wish or something like that. Here's Bible hope, a definition of Bible hope. The confident expectation of what God has promised. The confident expectation of what God has promised. And its strength is in His faithfulness. The strength of that hope is in God's faithfulness, in believing and knowing that God is going to bring to pass that which He promised. He says that what's coming isn't even worthy to be compared to the troubles and the things we're going through today. Not even worthy of it. 2 Corinthians 4 is where we are, and verse 17 says, for our light affliction, affliction there is the word mental, thlipsis, which is mental pressure. The pressures we feel, you know, and we do feel them. Don't tell me you don't, because I know we all do. You know, paying the bills, fixing the house, fixing the car, taking care of children, doing those things. It can build up mental pressure. Our light affliction, it's called here, which is but for a moment. See, this lifetime, it ain't going to last forever. We're all going to hit that point where someday it's over. It's a moment. It's just a moment in light of all eternity. And this light affliction only lasts that long. It's a light affliction, and it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, the things which are coming on that day, that's eternal. That's forever. And it makes every waking day that we have, every waking moment of every day, worth living for. Because it's just a moment. It's just a little moment. And the things that we don't see now, the things that are so great, they're eternal. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 9 says that this is a quote from Isaiah chapter 64. So this promise that God's given us that we're going to read here was also given to Israel for their hope. As it is written, verse 9 says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. We cannot even imagine it. Nobody's seen it. Nobody's heard it. In our hearts, in our wildest imaginations, we can't see the awesome things that God's got prepared for us that love Him. On that day, and that day's a-coming, when that's going to happen. I can't even imagine it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. How can this all be possible? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's begin in verse 12. And we read, so now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? This was one of those points of division and contention Bob was referring to last night with the Corinthian people. Some of them were saying that there was no resurrection of the dead. Paul's addressing this and correcting this right now. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen, he said. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. Yea, if we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, Then is not Christ raised? And Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, you're yet in your sins, and then also they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. This is what would happen if people were saying there is no resurrection of the dead. So verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But it's just for a moment in this life. And our hope is not just for this life only and the things of this life. Our hope is eternal. And that day's a coming that we have to look forward to. Our hope is eternal. If we just got it right now, we're of all men most miserable. If we just live for the day, for this world, for this life, for this little moment, as the word calls it, we're most miserable. Because you'll never find that satisfaction in this life. You'll never find the things in this life that eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, that God hath prepared for them that love Him. And verse 26 of this same chapter says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it's manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. That day's coming. That's a day to look forward to. That prophecy is one I want to be on the right side of when that happens. That's a hope that we can have and look forward to, is that one day God's going to be all in all. What are some of the other things we have to look forward to? Look at Colossians chapter 1. This is a very familiar verse. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, we always, in that verse, and when we were taught that verse, maybe for the first time, the emphasis was on Christ in you. It's Christ in you. Remember? It's Christ in you. What power we have, if we only knew it, is Christ in you. But we often forget the last part of this verse, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that glory, why we can have that hope of glory, that's what eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard. That's what God's prepared for them that love Him, that incredible day that's coming. And you know, it's hard in this life. We've read and we've seen, we face these challenges and these tribulations of daily life and daily living. And sometimes, you know, I've been tempted, and maybe you have to stop and ask yourself, you know, we're doing our best to do the things of the ministry, the work of the ministry, and it's hard, and it takes time, and sometimes people won't listen, and sometimes they'll give you flack, and sometimes you just say to yourself, is this worth it? Is it worth it, what we're doing? When I have those times when I'm tempted to think that way and to feel that way, I think about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He did and what He went through. And the things He endured. And I think about Him on the cross, beaten and hurting and bloody and suffering and ready to lay down His life for us. And I think about Him looking out, and when I think, is this worth it to do? I think about Him looking out, and He saw you and He saw me. He said, it's worth it. It's worth it. And He laid down His life for us. And someday He's coming back. There's a day He's coming back. That day's coming. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." A lively hope. I like lively stuff. I don't know about you, but it's not a dead hope. It's not a quiet hope. It's not a sorrow. It's a lively hope. It's lively because that hope can live in us every moment of every day that we live. So you know why? That day that's a-coming, it could happen any time. It's a lively hope. "By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to the inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept..." Reserved in heaven, "who are kept by the power of God through His faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice." Right now we can rejoice greatly in this hope that He's coming back. "Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold many temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of joy, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." That's going to happen at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There's a day coming. He's coming back. We'll see Him. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. This has been a topic that has been particularly special to me as I've worked this in light of the hope over the years. Fred mentioned I taught it quite a bit at our fellowship years and years ago. I attended a class that Bob Carden did over a period of 6 weeks. He did this class on the hope, and it so inspired me that I wanted to come back and teach it. And we did a whole series on it, and I worked this material that Bob had, and was so inspired by that teaching series that I came back and taught that again, and I got so excited about it, and we did it for a while. And then, I mean, when's the last time you've heard this taught? I got to thinking about it. It hasn't been taught a lot lately. But with my father falling asleep, and you know, there have been others just recently in our group and our fellowship who have fallen asleep. I think of, you know, our brother Chuck, who was just here a year ago with us, who fell asleep this past year. You know, Don Haggerty just recently has passed away. You know, people like Dave Lutz, who maybe some of you knew him. These are people that I knew. Dave wrote that great song, Daddy's Arms, which is everybody's favorite. You know, he's fallen asleep. And recently, Juan Cabrera, our brother in fellowship and service in Venezuela, the ministries over there. You know, of course, Teresa Ponio. John, her husband John, and Teresa served with us faithfully for many, many years on the board, has fallen asleep. Jai Murphy Hennessy was a brother in England that we fellowshipped with for years. And of course, John Schroyer, who made such an impact on my life, and others, Dr. Werwell, who taught many of us the Word, and many of us, maybe all of us, might be here today because of the Word that we learned from Dr. Werwell. But you know, the days are coming when all these folks we loved and worked and served with and fellowshiped with, we're all going to be together again. That day's a-coming. Where'd they go? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know this, that when he shall appear, we'll be like him, and we shall see him as he is. We'll see him face to face. We'll be like him. We'll be as he is. Think of how he was. Think of all the records in his life of how he was and how we endeavor and work to be like him now, and many times fall short. I know I do, but that day's a coming when he's going to appear and we'll see him face to face and we're going to be just like him. We're just going to... Oh. And every man, verse 3, that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as Jesus Christ is pure. And the purifying, by holding this hope, purifies us to have the ability to serve the body of Christ right now. That's what the purification does. It purifies us to serve right now until that day comes when we see him face to face. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. This is another one that's been shared often this weekend so far. 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll read in verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, put away them childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then, what? Face to face. Face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And be like him. Know him as he is. Now we know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. Charity, the love of God. These three. But the greatest of these is the love of God. These three things pretty much make up the basis of our entire Christian walk. Faith, hope, and love. And I read this quote. Actually, I wrote it down and then I read it. So I'll read it to you. Hope cannot exist apart from faith, and love cannot be exercised without hope. These three things are intertwined in God's Word: faith, hope, and love. I'll read that to you again because I thought it was pretty good. Hope cannot exist apart from faith, and love cannot be exercised without hope. There's several places in the Word where these three, faith, hope, and love, are used together. And it emphasizes the importance of all of them together working in the life of a believer and living in light of the hope. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I know it's in here. This Bible, I think, is 40 years old, more than 40 years, and it's the pages, I just can't get rid of it. I got a new one, but it just doesn't feel the same. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is Paul at the end of his life. Paul he knows it's about to end. God showed him this. He was about to be martyred, and he says in verse 7, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that do one thing, and they just love his appearing and look forward to that day when that's going to happen. And you know what? When that day happens, when we see him face to face, when we're like him, he's going to take that crown. He said, May, here you go. And he's going to put it on your head. And then I'm going to look around and I say, hey, Alex, you got one too. Look how cool this is. Fred's even got one. They had to make a special size to fit Fred's head. A crown of righteousness. Something else we have to look forward to. Crowns and rewards throughout all eternity for looking forward to and anticipating and loving the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Paul said he's fought a good fight. He's ready. I'm not ready to say those words for me yet, because you know what? There's still so much to be done. I'm not ready to lay down my life. I'm not ready to say I've run my course. I don't think you are either. But there'll be a day coming, maybe, when each one of us will say this. But not right now. You know, they say everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go right now. Okay, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, back there again. The hope. And we will go, let's see, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Oh, here's another thing to look forward to. Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Wait, what? We're all going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and will be changed. Spoiler alert, new bodies. New bodies. Now, who can say, let me see a show of hands, I'm perfectly happy with this one I got. May? No. Are you? Well, I'm not. You know, I don't think any of us can say that. You know, I got one now. Well, the eyes don't see too good. The ears don't hear too good. The feet hurt after, you know. I'm looking forward to a new body as he is. We'll be like him. We'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Get that new body. And for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, verse 52, incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You know what that means? We're going to die. We're immortal, just like you. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What a day that's going to be. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It's gone. It ain't here anymore. That day's a-coming. Verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The things we do right now for God, they're worth it. They're worth doing. And the hope that we hold in our hearts of that day when he appears and we see him face to face gives us the strength to keep doing that, verse 55, while we're here and while we're alive. You know, I was thinking also, too, about this new body and stuff that we're going to have. This summer, I was at my father's funeral, and the funeral service had been over, and I was with my daughter, Hannah. Everybody had left. We're about to leave and go to the gravesite. And I was standing at the casket with my daughter, Hannah, and we had our arms around each other, and we had an open casket, and we were saying our last goodbyes to Dad and to Grandpa together, and it was kind of a teary moment for us as we did that. It was beautiful, but the funeral director came up, and everybody was gone. It was just me and Hannah in there holding each other, and he was about to close the casket, and he asked me, he said, "Is there anything you would like?" And I said, "I'd like to have his glasses." My dad always wore these great big Coke bottle glasses that were, you know, like that. I said, "I'd like to have his glasses." So he took off his glasses and he folded them up and he handed them to me. And I turned to my daughter and I said, "You know what, honey?" I said,
The next time he opens his eyes, he won't need these. He won't need them. That's what we've got to look forward to. We won't need these. We won't need any of that stuff. We'll have new bodies.
We can look forward to that. Ones that work perfectly. Go to Revelation chapter 21. Wrapping up here. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he'll dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That day's a coming. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That day's a coming. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. And we'll see them face to face. And we'll close here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians also that we have this treasure now in earthen vessels. The excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He's given us these earthen vessels. I had one guy in my fellowship one time that taught that section, and he said, we're just mud jugs. That was the phrase he used. We're mud jugs. We've got this in earthen vessels or mud jugs, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. That's where the power comes from. We're just earthen vessels for now. But we're going to get new ones. And I think Thessalonians is still somewhere in my Bible. Pages sticking together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is how it's going to happen. This is what's going to happen here. We start in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Here's another one. Brian shared earlier. It said this in a lot of the word. God would not have us ignorant or unlearned or unaware of what's going to happen. So Paul's going to tell us. And this is how it's going down right here. Would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And there are people in this world today walking around every day without any hope, with no hope. Ephesians also talks about at one time we were that way. We were without God and without hope in this world. And thank God, we have hope now. We can have that hope, and we can bring that hope to others. But we need to sorrow. We can sorrow, but right now we sorrow, but not as others who have no hope. It's a knowing that those people we've lost, that we miss, that we loved and worked with and served with all our lives, we're going to be with them. We'll see them another day. And they ain't going to need their glasses, and neither will I. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a shout. We're going to hear a shout. And what is he going to shout? Charlie thinks it'll be something like he said to Lazarus. Get up! You know, it might be something like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm back. Only louder. Bigger guns. He's coming back. Whatever he says, we're going to hear that voice and recognize it. It'll be a shout. A shout of victory. So there's going to be a shout, the voice of an archangel, and a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're going first. Now think about that. We'll see that. We'll be watching that and saying, what the, what's going on? But then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we forever be with the Lord. That's a hope we can hold. And the final verse says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We can comfort one another in that hope. You know, and I know that there are those of you out here, maybe some of you never have experienced that sting of death of someone close to you. But you know what? Chances are pretty good you will. Most of us have. And it ain't no fun, but there's a day coming. He's going to appear. So shall we ever be with the Lord. One final verse, turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I'm going to read this for Sheila. Where's Sheila? Oh, yeah. Okay. Romans chapter 15. Anyway, I want to leave you with this thought before I read this verse. And I want you to remember this. The good old days are never really as good as we remember them. The present is not really as bad as we think. And the future is as bright as the promises of God. He's coming back. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's my prayer for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful, awesome Word of God that you've given us, your Word, that this hope can live in our hearts, Father, that it can live in our hearts and dwell there, that we can live it every day, knowing that your promises are true, knowing that you are a faithful God, and what you've promised in your Word will truly, certainly, absolutely come to pass. And we look forward to that day, Father. We love you. We love your Son, Jesus Christ, and thank you for all the many blessings you bless us with, not only in this life, but that which is to come. We're so thankful, and thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
There it is. Here we go.
I remember as a child my mother reading from a book she held so dear, as I recall. She would read it every morning and each evening. She told me the greatest story of her. Jesus Christ, the one who's altogether lovely. Jesus Christ, the one who took away my sin. Oh, he's the one who is coming back in glory. Jesus Christ, the hope of heaven, he's God's Son. Then we talked about a place called Mount Calvary. How a man they called the king was crucified. How a lowly soldier beneath a tree stood fighting. Surely this man was the Son of God, he cried. There he is, the one who's altogether lovely. There he is, the one who took away our sin. Oh, he's the one who is coming back in glory. Jesus. their ears. There will come a day when every eye shall see, when at last the world will know that Jesus lives. When the trumpet sounds and all God's saints are pointing to the heavens and proclaiming their there he is.